Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
私は誠の福音書15章1節から8節まで。私は誠のブドウの木です。私の父は農夫です。私の枝で実を結ばないものは皆、父がそれを取り除き、実を結るものは皆、もっと多く実を結るために刈り込みをなさいます。あなた方は私があなた方に話したことばによって、もう清いのです。私にとどまりなさい。私もあなた方の中にとどまります。枝がブドウの木についていなければ、枝だけでは実を結ぶことはできません。私はブドウの木で、あなた方は枝です。人が私にとどまり、私もその人の中にとどまっているなら、そういう人は多くの実を結びます。私を離れてはあなた方は何もすることができないからです。誰でももし私にとどまっていなければ、枝のように投げ捨てられ枯れます。人々はそれを寄せて集めて火に投げ込むので、それは燃えてしまいます。あなた方が私にとどまり、私の言葉があなた方にとどまるなら、何でもあなた方の欲しいものを求めなさい。そうすればあなた方のためにそれが叶えられます。あなた方が多くの実を結び、私の弟子となることによって、私の父は栄光をお受けになるのです。
Good morning. How's everyone doing? It's good to see all of you here today. I have to be convinced, since I'm the pastor, but I am convinced that there's no better place to be on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning than to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You're with me on this one. I just got back from a retreat. A pastor's retreat, for those of you who might not have known. And it was a great time, refreshing time, up in Northern Cal. Just got to spend a lot of time with the Lord and with other pastors. And the highlight, if you guys would like to know, of my time was just playing. There was great speaking, great worship, but the fellowship, the playing, the recreation. There's something about that just, I believe we all need. It's okay to play sometimes. God invented playing. He created it. In fact, he set a day apart for people to play, to worship, to have a time to worship through playing. Amen? Today's message is called Abiding in Christ, and it has a lot to do with abiding in Him through the pruning process of life. And if you don't know what that means, hopefully we'll have a better idea after today's message. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy, Your love and Your faithfulness, Your goodness. Holy Spirit, we invite You into this place to fill our hearts and minds, to speak to us, to touch us, transform our lives, Lord, that we can reflect Your goodness and Your glory. We thank You so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. It's a little warm in here, or is it just me?
It's warm.
It's warm. Okay, if anyone wants to dabble with the heater, it's on the sides over there, but I'm going to bring the heat too, so it's going to get a lot hotter. No, bringing the heat today. It says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So here again, we kind of get a glimpse of the language and culture of heaven. The language of heaven. Who talks like that? I am the vine, My Father is the vine dresser, You're the branches. Jesus talks like that, apparently. What does that all mean? It's almost like they're talking in code. I was watching Ocean's 13 or something. It was on TV, just a little clip of it. And one of the character, Matt Damon, was like, I'm ready to be in this secret meeting you're going to have with one of the guys. And they're all just talking in codes. And Matt Damon is sitting there lost, like, what are they talking about? And finally, it's his time to talk, and he just goes with a poem. it's a very funny scene. Sorry, I messed it up. It's really funny, though. But here, Jesus is kind of talking in codes. I'm the true vine. You are the branches. My Father is a vine dresser. Period. Abide in Me. And He just continues to say, abide in Me. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to get pruned. Abide in Me. Abide in Me. That's the message, folks. All right, let's go home. Let's watch some Super Bowl. But what does that all mean? Do you guys understand what Jesus is talking about right now? Because it's important to know what He's talking about. Because it's important. This is like His last moments with His disciples. And in His last moments with His disciples, this is what He has to tell them. His message to His disciples are full of imagery, history, and to a lot of us, mystery. What's going on here? What are you talking about? What does this all mean? That Jesus is the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and we're the branches. If we don't know what He's talking about, we're going to need to grow in this area of understanding the language and culture of heaven. Every field has its own language, its own culture. If you're an engineer, it has its own language, its own culture. If you're a historian, it probably has a mathematician, whatever. If you're a jock, it has its own language, its own culture. Heaven has its own language, its own culture. And here Jesus gives us another glimpse of what it looks like. And it's important for us to begin to grow in that, to really understand when the Father speaks to us. The Father is constantly, I believe, communicating with us and to us. Whether it's from the sky we see, the trees, the leaves, the dreams. Many of us had a lot of dreams last night, and we just don't know what was going on. But it could very well be God speaking to us. That is, in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, God speaks through dreams. But again, it has a lot of imagery, history, and mystery behind all of that. And for us to grow in this, I believe is paramount. So what does it mean? Historically, when it starts off with I am, most of us are familiar with that term. It goes all the way back to the Exodus story, where God reveals himself to Moses, and Moses asked God, who revealed himself in the burning bush, what do I tell the people your name is? And from the burning bush, God says, I am. I am the true vine. There's allusions to this imagery of God first revealing himself as the great I am. Points, that is true. Yes. Do you remember all the other I am statements that were mentioned in the Gospel of John?
I am the door.
I am the door.
I am the way, way, truth, life.
Yes. The good shepherd. The bread of life. I am the life and resurrection. I am the true light of this world. Now he says, I am the true vine. Jesus reveals himself as the true vine. Again, another symbol or image that is rich with Israel's history, the vine. All throughout the Old Testament, prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea refers to Israel as the vine. This is an image that probably goes all the way back to the Promised Land. If you remember the story of Joshua and Caleb going into the Promised Land, one of the most distinct feature of the Promised Land were the grapes. Do you guys remember that story? It's a very popular Sunday school story. Moses tells, I believe, 12 people. 12? I haven't been in Sunday school for a long time. So 12 of them. To go and do a survey of the land that they're going to inherit from the Lord. And in the land, the land was flowing with milk and honey, and there was clusters of grapes so big it took 2 people to carry it. Imagine that. The grape and the vineyards of Israel, of the Promised Land, were renowned, huge, humongous. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The true vine reminds the people of the promises of God, I believe. Reminds the people that they are the true people of God. Jesus speaks both of his deity and the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He goes on and says, already you are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Already you are clean. Now this is a passage that I actually struggled with. I didn't know exactly what Jesus was talking about, and I still really don't grasp it. Perhaps it was Jesus' analogy that he's trying to clarify. Now he says, unless God prunes you, you won't bear much fruit. How many of you actually prune your gardens? Show of hands. Oh yeah, a couple of you guys. Good for you guys. You go to my backyard, it's just like fruit on the tree or fruit on the ground. Not a lot of pruning going on. the Father is the vine dresser, so I let the Father do it. No. When you prune, most likely it's sort of just a cutting, right? You get a pruning scissor and you just cut it and take the fruits off. And that's supposedly good for your garden. Those of you who have roses, you do that to your roses too, right? Yes? It's not like that though, when it comes to pruning vines. Actually, it's probably both a matter of time and also the effectiveness, but when they prune vines, it's a violent kind of act. They just strip it off with their bare hands, pretty fast, pretty violently. And so you could imagine Jesus here taking maybe a vine and saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, and the Father is going to prune you. And he rips it off really fast, really violently. And the disciples are like, oh my God, what's going on? But he says, don't worry, you guys are already clean. You guys are clean right now. That's not going to happen. Perhaps that's what happened. But that's interesting, right? You guys ever knew that that's sort of the thing? It's just a violent kind of thing and it rips off. What does Jesus mean then when he says, unless you abide in me, you will not bear fruit. And if you do bear fruit, God will prune you so that you could bear more fruit. Seems very violent. Seems very uncomfortable. Now the message is simple, right? The message simply is, abide in me and you'll bear fruit. You stick with me, you'll bear fruit. Jesus says, whatever happens, stick with me and you'll bear fruit. That's a natural outcome. It's a byproduct. We actually don't have to do much other than stick with Jesus, walk with Jesus, be with Jesus. How easy can that be? That's the message. Stick with Jesus, walk with Jesus, learn to understand him, read the Bible, memorize the Bible. I mean, that's the message. Why is it so hard? Why does he continue to repeat, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, if it's such a simple message? Because honestly, it's hard to do. Simple message, hard to do. Before I go on with the pruning process, let's just continue. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. How much can we accomplish on our own? Nothing. Now, I'm not saying how successful can we be on our own. Surely we can be successful on our own. There has been many kings and princes throughout history that has looked successful in the eyes of the world without God. Sure, you can be successful. But in God's eyes, how much can we accomplish on our own? Jesus says nothing. You cannot bear fruit without me. Now fruit, again, I want to just clarify in my understanding of what fruit is, and fruitfulness is the maturing of the character of Christ. Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That is what God is impressed with. That's what he's looking for. That's what he wants to see mature in our lives. Regardless of how successful we may look outwardly, inwardly he measures those things as fruitfulness. So regardless of how big your house is, how nice your car is, how many promotions you've gotten at work, how many degrees you have, what God wants to know is, in those circumstances, whether it's good or bad, has those things grown in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Has those things matured into a Christ-like state? How many of those things can grow without God? Nothing. You can do nothing without Him. I'm not saying outward fruitfulness isn't important. I believe that's a byproduct. And sometimes it's not even a byproduct. Sometimes you'll always look unsuccessful in the eyes of the world. Jesus looked unsuccessful in the eyes of the world. But 2,000 years later, we know how successful He really was. However, it continues to say, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. Our lives can count for nothing if we're not careful. The concept is simple, abide in Jesus. However, to actually do it can be very challenging. Jesus repeats it because it's going to be challenging. So what does the pruning process look like? I just want to say this. Pruning hurts. The pruning process is painful. But it is a reality that God has ordained. Suffering is a part of His sovereign plan to make us into fruitful people. I want you to know, for those of you who are hurting, that's part of God's plan for your life, to become more fruitful. If you have ever gone through any kind of significant suffering, I want you to know that is part of God's perfect plan in your life. It's not because you did something bad. Certainly there are suffering for things we have done something bad, but suffering is part of God's plan for your life. I know that's not a happy message. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens for that. But it's true. Jesus Himself was perfected through suffering. Jesus Himself went through significant suffering. Now, was that because He was a sinner? No. Was that because He did something wrong? No. But for God, He pruned Jesus Himself. And Jesus says, you too, if you want to be fruitful, will be pruned. You will go through significant sufferings in your life. And I just want to say that's part of God's perfect plan for your life. I was trying to think of some analogy, my own analogies of suffering to help, you know, with the message. Honestly, I have not. I have not gone through significant suffering, you know. I have lost, sure. Loss of hair, you know. Loss of my metabolism, as you can see. Loss of athleticism, you know. But honestly, those aren't very significant in life. People have gone through real suffering. And so, kind of embarrassed to share any of my sufferings with you, because it really isn't that hard. You know, losing my hair isn't going to like prevent me from walking with Jesus. Or my metabolism. In fact, that might like draw me closer to Jesus. I need you, God. I'm not cool in the world no more. I need you, Jesus. No. But many of us have gone through sufferings. Suffering so painful that it took the Holy Spirit to keep you from falling away from God. You guys ever go through that? I've been through that, but it was seriously just so insignificant. I don't even want to tell you. You guys are like, man, this guy's a baby. This guy is so whiny. So I'm not going to tell you my story. But, you know, throughout the retreat this last week, there was a lot of sharings. And I'm like, I'm listening to these pastors, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not know that this person had to go through that. Sharings of loss, real loss. It's not even my stories, and I'm like tearing up for them, because that's just how painful it can be to walk with God. And continue to walk with God. But here Jesus continues to remind us that we will be pruned. And during the pruning process, that it's so important that we do one thing only. Stay with Jesus through the process. Because if you stay, you'll be more fruitful. There was a pastor who, great pastor, who shared about, ooh, man, here's the heat. His brother taking his own life. He shared that with us. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe his being that vulnerable with us. Took his own life. He said, that's the day when my mom stopped talking. Still a pastor. Pretty amazing. Still walking with God. Now, we've all gone through things. Loss of relationships. Loss of finances. Loss of property. Loss of health. The violent pruning. Violent. Maybe out of nowhere. Especially during the time when we're most fruitful and we feel good about ourselves. Look at all this fruit I have. Look at how loving, how joyful, how faithful, how peaceful, how self-controlled I am. And all of a sudden, boom. And you just lose your cool. Because everything around you just goes into a tailspin. And your life is just, God, do you really love me? If you really love me, why are all these things happening? But God says, you will be pruned. And as you are pruned, the most important thing is to abide in me. Stay close. Yes. Stick with me.
Amen. Praise God.
Because it's so easy to just walk away from God in that moment. How many of us have walked away from God in that moment, only for God to bring us back? Amen. Yeah. God is a faithful God. He is a good God. And the biggest challenge to overcome abiding in Him is to overcome the offense of going through suffering. But I want to just repeat one more time that suffering that you and I go through, that has been ordained, preordained by God in His perfect plan, so that you and I could understand and grow in full maturity of what it means to suffer for Christ and be more Christ-like. It says in the last part, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. However great the suffering will be, let me tell you, the promises are much greater. There is this connection between suffering, abiding, and praying. so intimately put together here by Jesus. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, I don't think it means you can ask for a Mercedes-Benz. Although it may not hurt to ask for a Mercedes-Benz. I'm not saying you can't ask for it. You might not get it, though. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. But there is an intimate connection between suffering, abiding, and asking that Jesus brings together. Perhaps what he's talking about is the asking for the fruitfulness of God. The asking of love, greater love, Lord. Greater peace, greater joy, greater patience. You ask for that, he'll give it to you, no matter what the circumstances are. Isn't that amazing? Most of us, we run the rat race of trying to buy peace in our lives. You will never buy peace in your life. Many of us, we try to find love through others in our lives. You'll never find the love of God that you're looking for in your life. The joy, many of us, we run after a lot of pleasures in this world to find the joy of God in our lives. You will never find the joy of God in this world. This is something God says, you ask for it and I'll give it to you. Whatever you ask for. It does say whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. So perhaps you can wish for a Mercedes. No, just kidding. But there is this interesting correlation Jesus makes between abiding, suffering, and praying. And as we are pruned, cleansed, over and over and over and over again, and as we learn to abide over and over and over again, there is this character that is built in us, a Christ-like character that is built in us, that what he can trust us enough to give us this promise, whatever you wish for and ask, it'll be given to you. It'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. And this is what true discipleship looks like. Walking with God, enduring suffering for Christ's name's sake, learning to abide in Him during the time of suffering, and then bearing much more fruit. And then seeing our lives and character mature to the point where we can ask for anything and God will do it. That's what the Bible says. I have not met a person that they could ask for anything and it's done. But that's what the Bible says. There is a maturity in Christ where we could ask for anything and it'll be done for us. But the process is painful. It is hard, and I leave you with this. As hard as it gets, abide in Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered for us. But Lord, as we walk with you, we know that this world, in this side of eternity, there will be suffering. And Father, as we go through suffering and pain, loss, disillusionment, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will not grow hard, but that we would draw closer to you, Jesus. In the times of difficulty, we pray that we will learn to cling on to you, so that we would bear more fruit for you, Lord. That our Father in heaven would be glorified. I pray, Father, for those of us here today who are suffering. Lord, I pray that you would give them your peace. I pray that you would give us your assurance. I pray that you would fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill hearts now? We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, your love and your patience, your kindness and your goodness, your gentleness. Your love never fails us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.